Welcome to the Small Caps Podcast, where we discuss news and information related to ASX-listed companies and financial markets, keeping investors informed. Note that the content in this podcast is not financial or investment advice, and be sure to head over to smallcaps.com.au to get the latest market news. Now, without further delay, here's today's podcast.
Welcome back to Small Caps. My name is Kerry Stevenson, and it is our fortnightly, or thereabouts, catch-up with my friend Tony Licantro from Alto Capital, fondly known as Truth Bomb Tony, because he does tell the truth. And we talk about things like, what are you going to do? How are you going to protect your wealth? How are you going to make sure that you don't make the mistakes that others have made in the past? Today, we're going to be talking about inflation. We're going to be talking about what the RBA is, you know, I guess, indicating. And possibly while everyone was distracted with the Melbourne Cup, what does Tony think about what the RBA is doing in the future? Because everybody in Australia keeps talking property. Tony's been saying for a while now that he doesn't think property is a good investment, but I wonder what he thinks about shares. So, Tony, good to see you. Welcome back to Small Caps again. Let's start, Tony, with the RBA on Melbourne Cup Day. What are your thoughts on them? On their comments.
Great to be here, Kerry. This will be the last time people see this background because I'm actually moving into a new home Friday week, so you won't see the boxes with the rug hiding a washing machine and the plants above it. So,
is that what it is?
That's a washing machine.
Do you know what? If you hadn't said anything, we wouldn't have known that it's a washing machine. And now I'm looking at it going, oh, yeah, I can see a little bit of white at the bottom there. Very good.
Well, I feel like Jim Carrey in Liar Liar, you know, when he said the goddamn penny's blue. I'm just too honest, hence Truth from Tony. So, I was at Crown Ballroom having Unlimited Moe when Very Elegant won that race, and the RBA sneakingly changed their stance. So they were saying no rate increases to 2024. They've scrapped that. So now we have even mainstream people like Chris Joy, saying for every 1% increase in rates, you could see 20% off the property market. So if that doesn't ring out alarms, I don't know what will, because we do have this bugbear called inflation. And it's like trying to keep a beach ball down in a public pool. You cannot keep it down. And the only instrument to whack inflation is interest rates. So I think next year rates will be at that 0.5% and I'll be enjoying that bowl of verve.
Tony, you know, 0.5%, is that really going to make much difference to the majority of people, do you think? I mean, I'd say 2% might, but 0.5%?
Well, if you look at the average mortgage in New South Wales, which would be about $800, that's $4,000. A year, plus banks are going to start lifting rates outside. So 0.5% will translate into some pretty nasty mortgages. And you've seen Bank of New Zealand, some Kiwis are paying up to 6%. So rates could increase and very quickly. And the RBA aren't going to manage a speculative property bubble over East. They're going to need to manage an economy. And they certainly didn't bail out people in Perth that bought at the top in 2006 that 15 years later are still underwater. And you've got to look at the real cost of owning a house. So, I mean, yeah, they should probably try harder to save Sydney and Melbourne. But this is now just the mother of all speculative bubbles. And it's spread to almost every other asset class. And it's gone global. And what can happen to any speculative bubble is you don't need a pin. You just need an exhaustion of buyers, and buyers get exhausted. And that happens in every speculative bubble on the stock market. It happened, you know, dot-com, childcare, retractable syringes. We even had an eggs and cow bubble there for a while. People just can't keep up the enthusiasm. And the RBA has given everyone a bloody warning. Now people need to think, what the hell am I doing? Can I survive this stress test? Do I want to be handcuffed financially for the rest of my life? Well, the answer to that is hell no. So I just think, you know, this dream of owning a house to leave it to your kids, I think attitudes are going to change. But, you know, well done to everyone that sat on their property, that's now won lotto, that can sell it to a greater idiot. And again, the argument is, Kerry, that people say, well, where am I going to live? But, you know, if you pocket $2 million for a knockdown with mold and asbestos, I mean, in a few years, you can probably bloody live where you want. So I remain extremely negative. I know that rallies can go on longer. Yep. I think COVID has provided people not, you know, this is a black swan event that's made a lot of people rich on paper, but it's all shit until it's converted into cash.
That is true indeed. And at the moment, there's a lot of people cashing in on this euphoria, I guess, if you like. Where do you think the inflation story has come from, and where is it going, and what should people do? Because I'm looking and saying prices are going up, whether it's food, fuel, fun, whatever you're looking at, property, stock market, everything's on the up and up. Do you stay, I guess, locked in to ride the inflation bubble?
Well, the biggest killjoy is interest rates. So that will kill a lot of things. You look at what you're spending, you look at utilities, you look at fuel, the costs of, you know, even childcare, education. Costs are rising. About the only assets that haven't increased in value are treadmills you pay too much for. The only other thing that hasn't really added value is new cars. The new car prices haven't really increased much at all. So you look across that basket of goods and, you know, they're going to have to increase rates to get through it. And it wasn't that long ago, I think, you know, the price of video recorders or cassettes was included in the basket. You know, you probably have to go back a little bit, but I mean, it's not looking good. We recently had fuel prices around $2 a litre in Perth.
Wow.
Yeah, and the other interesting point is, Kerry, is that there's a massive shortage of staff.
Absolutely. And that is pushing, because for a long time we've had flat wage growth, haven't we? But it's actually pushing wages up quite substantially at the moment, especially in WA.
Well, if you believe current affairs shows, people are walking into kitchens and poaching staff with huge wages, huge sign-on fees, and that's fighting against the next trend, which is going to be the great resignation, where people realise that they're slaving their guts away for no real benefit apart from paying bills. So we're heading into a shift now, but the hospitality industry is 100,000 people short without the foreign intake. So yeah, there's going to be wage pressure, and that will accelerate inflation, lead to higher interest rates and pop the everything bubble. And then alien life form or economic students in 50, 100 years time are going to be pissing themselves laughing at how stupid we were. And I advise people to buy the book Devil Take the Hindmost by Edward Chancellor, that goes back to the tulip bubble, South Sea bubble, and the Japanese golf club bubble, where people were paying a lot of money for to join golf clubs. So alien life form are really going to have a chuckle at the mess we got ourselves into. So I can't be strong enough. I look wrong at the moment, but you try and get out of a totally illiquid asset where you've got finance approval, then you've got the building and termite. At least some stupid purchasers are going to have an out on either of those terms.
Just remind us of that book again. You said it so fast, Tony.
Devil Take the Hindmost by Edward Chancellor.
Devil Take the Hindmost.
Yep.
Okay.
And it unfortunately, he hasn't written a follow-up since .com. Actually, the book I want to read is the book I want to write, but I just got to find some time.
I tell you what, while we're on books, I also think people should read, Edward J. Griffin, The Creature from Jekyll Island. Read that one?
No. No, but thanks for the tip.
It's a good one. It's all about the Federal Reserve and how it's actually a private bank and how it's run and how it started for all you investors out there. All right. Yeah. Let's get into, we've talked inflation, we've talked the RBA, we've talked about property, you've talked about the everything bubble. But what do we do? What do our listeners do to protect themselves? They've got their house. They're going to sit in their house. They've got exposure to the share market, which has been going up and up and up.
Yep.
Are there certain sectors of the share market that you like more than others? In other words, for instance, Westpac has taken a bit of a hiding in the banks this week. Commonwealth Bank done very well. What do you like? Because the share market might take a little bit of a hit, but will that be across all sectors, or do you think people should be looking at certain areas?
Well, we look at hydrogen, that the hydrogen stocks have gone ape shit, but I mean there's not going to be much use for that for a decade. So it's all bandwagon jumping. Yep. Lithium stocks have, since crashing in January 2018, have staged a massive recovery. Again, bandwagon. There's not going to be too many producers. The uranium stocks did extremely well, which we picked pretty well. I think I'm going to head back towards the biotech sector.
Oh.
I think that the long-term effects of COVID won't be known because it hasn't been a long time. So I'm sticking to quality biotechs. These stocks do absolutely nothing. All my stocks do nothing until they don't. So we've got, you know, breathing, diagnostics, all those stocks that I think will benefit from the long-term effects of COVID. And I just stick to quality junior companies that have the resources, they have the growth. Admittedly, they're not pumped and dumped on WhatsApp groups, but they're there. So they're the sectors I'm sticking to. I think Westpac's banking is only the start in the banking sector. I think people do have the chance to get out of these stocks, but then they say, well, where do I get my yield from? Well,
yeah.
it's better to stop a 30-40% paper decline than get 5% yield, because someone said it, there's been no greater destruction of wealth than in the search for yield. So all these tech stocks, you know, they're great till they're not. Domino's got poleaxed. Everyone was eating $5 pizzas. Well, I always have anchovies, so that makes it a $7 pizza. But eventually life will get back to somewhat of the normal, where we'll go back to normal eating, everything opens up, and suddenly these darlings of the pandemic are no longer. So I just tell my clients, look, I only really advise in the high risk, high reward stocks, and I provide a general overview. So I've got my favorite companies. I still think they will multiply in value, but it takes time.
It does take time, especially in the junior space. Do you want to share any of those companies with us today, Tony, or would you prefer to keep that for your clients?
I promised on the last show, where I had too much of a rant, that I'd actually talk about some stocks.
You did.
So I look at my list. I remain extremely positive on Aumin. Code is AUN. This thing will dance sideways until it doesn't.
Yeah.
First class management team, high grade gold results, the ability to do corporate activity, that should not be underestimated. We've seen Bill and Rally Finlayson do that. We've seen Gold Road do that. So this is the type of stock you keep buying. You just add wealth tokens, and one day you buy it at 20, you buy it at 15. One day it comes to fruition. And if I had a DeLorean, I'd set it back to August 2010, where I wrote a research report for my clients on Northern Star at 5.7 cents.
Jeez.
So you just have to ride these things out, and dollar cost averaging in quality specs does work. I thought those results yesterday from Pac Gold, code PGO, were really encouraging.
Yeah.
I think that Tony Schreck and the team could be onto a monster here.
Yeah.
They've said that this thing extends 800 meters out and it swells. They could be close to hitting some really exciting gold. and this could turn into quite a large gold company. The market, someone sold it down 3 cents yesterday on the close, but to me, this is a company well worth backing. I remain bullish on Mako Gold, MKG.
Don't you say too much about gold stocks, because you're talking next week at my gold conference.
I'll join the STFU then. So, all right. Well, I look at my biotechs. Narada, cholesterol, brain injury. Compare it to Argenica, code AGN, which has had a huge run on a brain injury development. So to me, Narada has been belted into the next postcode, but around 24 cents. I think if that cholesterol drug keeps showing positive signs, that is a huge market. Proteomics, code PIQ, has a predictive test for diabetic kidney disease that beats every gold standard. They're trading around a dollar. I still think there's multiple upside in that one. Exapharm is cheap till it isn't. They're trading around 51. I must disclose that I had to lighten a few to pay for my house deposit, but I will never tell people to buy something I need to lighten. So that they look absolutely fantastic. And don't forget Chimeric, Paul Hopper's company in CAR-T. I think Paul would be very disappointed with the performance of that company. But to me, this is the future, the real leading edge biotech companies that could provide the windfall. For those looking for a Hail Mary off the side of the boot discovery, Copper Search CUS around 34 are drilling in the Gawler Craton. They're looking for monster discoveries. Their first drilling, I think they snapped the drill rod and the stock got sold off a little bit. But, you know, if you want to look for 5, 10, 20 times your money, you've got to buy a ticket in the draw.
Yeah. Yeah. And you've got to have, and they're not all going to come to fruition, are they, Tony?
Oh, hell no, but it only takes one 10-bagger, crunchy, change the colour of your day. But, you know, people out there have the courage to drill for these mines rather than jumping on a bandwagon to get a sugar hit in the share price. And you've only got to look at what Chalice announced.
Oh, boy, you know, I was looking at Chalice literally on Friday and I looked yesterday. And then, bang, today off it went.
Well, there's an old saying in the resource industry or life, you know, never put a ring on it. but what they've done, well, it's cost me quite a lot of money. But what they've done is come out with the largest PGE discovery in Australia's history and the largest nickel discovery since the 2000s. So, but you have to be mindful is that a lot of good news is baked into that share price. And these big resource companies become orphans once they go into studies.
Yeah.
So you've got to look at Brent Cook's cycle of a junior resource company. I implore viewers to look at that life cycle of a junior company because you'll see discovery, studies, orphan stage, production back up. So, I mean, that happened to Sirius, but wow, what a resource, what a result for Alex Dorsch and the team.
And also they've just spun off their gold assets to, what is it, Metals Focus, is it?
Not 100% sure on that.
Yeah, but, I did see it, but yes, they've spun off, know, the, spun off the gold assets.
There's going to be more spin-outs, yeah.
More spin-outs than a spinning top. I'm trying to do a Tony, ladies and gentlemen.
So, you know, you've got to be in these companies and there's plenty of clues and people will revisit the quality in a couple of years' time and say, well, look, I should have bought that when all the high flyers are heading back to shell value. But, you know, it's certainly this time in the markets is without precedence and, you know, it's like trying to land an A380 without a manual with no landing.
Well, I think, Tony, we've got all of this government money going into the new green economy. So, you know, I kind of like the things like the battery metals commodities because, you know, when you've got a $1.6 trillion infrastructure bill being passed through Biden, there's certainly going to be, you know, companies like Ioneer over in Nevada with their lithium boron project. I would have thought that that's probably sits right in the eye of the storm, if you like.
Of course. And kudos to Bernard Rowe, who got that company up off 0.2 cents. Yeah. Believe it or not.
Yep.
So, you know, they were looking for gold in Nevada. It didn't come up. And then suddenly we have an EV bubble. So I guess good things happen to good people, Kerry.
That is true. That is true. And speaking of good things to good people, I was talking to Rita Brooks from Tambura Metals last week, I think it was. They've got a very large land position. I'm throwing you under the bus a little bit here because I don't know whether you've had a look at it, but very large land position in that Julimar district near Chalice. Do you think that that could be a neurology play?
Well, I think now that Chalice has announced what they have, that neurology will start to fade. I know that a few others had a bit of a run, but I had the pleasure of meeting Rita probably about 21 years ago at the
Burnley. Oh, really?
Home. Yeah, when she was, she called herself the Berkeley bitch. I know that sounds terrible, but that's what
Rita, he didn't mean to say that. He really didn't.
No, she labelled herself that at Burswood Dome because she actually was behind Berkeley Resources. So
right.
That's what she called herself.
The Berkeley bitch. Well, she certainly is pretty excited about what she's got. Now, there's so much out there. Now, before we finish up, because we're running out of time, young Tony, one of the things I wanted to talk to you about was next week's virtual gold conference, which for those of you that don't know, Thursday next week, that's the 18th of November, is the virtual gold conference. Tony is going to be doing a keynote. We've got Jim Rickards, we've got Egon von Greyers. Who else do we have? We've got Ian Plimer. And we've got Tony Lecantro. And a lot of mining companies that are going to talk about their latest news, some of which Tony likes. But Tony, what I want to know is, come on, give them a teaser. What are you going to be talking about next Thursday at the Virtual Gold Conference?
I'm going to be talking about my top gold stocks that are unloved, that are ugly ducklings, that have the capacity to turn into a princess, that have largely been ignored in favour of rubbish. And then I'll look at the consolidation in the sector and look at some neurology. And I'm also going to discuss my top people to back in the sector.
Oh, that's, that'd be great because it is about management, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so. Everyone wants to be the next Bill Beament, but Bill had to come from somewhere. And I'll discuss some people I think have the ability to build real companies and not raise money to pay their salaries.
What a great way to end it. So, ladies and gentlemen, if you want to, it's free to register. Go to goldevents.com.au. In the meantime, Tony Lecantro from Alto Capital, always keep up the energy. And I love how you look at the market and you advise your clients. If people want to get a hold of you, how can they get a hold of you?
Tony@altocapital.com.au and any scams of enlargement, Russian potential wives, please don't spam me. I can probably take on a few new clients. I am a bit quiet at the moment. And, some people take a few years to come on board. So, happy to answer inquiries where I can. But we'll be busy for the next week and change because I am moving home. I'm moving house and there'll be a new studio thereafter.
Well, don't forget Thursday. I want to see you and I want to see you at the Zoom networking at the end of the day as well. Tony Lecantro from Alto Capital, thanks for joining us on Small Caps today.
Look forward to the next appearance. Thank you.